speak the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For those of you who wish there was not another sermon, I'm sorry to let you down, but for the next 12 minutes, feel free to go get a cup of coffee, I suppose. You know, what does the world look like when it's seen through the eyes of Jesus Christ? The world as it was when he walked upon it, and the world now as it is. I wonder what it looks like. But I am no psychoanalyst, so I can't answer with any kind of certified certainty. But we can turn back to what he said himself in the Gospel of Luke when he preached for the first time in the synagogue. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So right from the beginning of his public ministry, he made it very clear what he was about. Good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed. And unless he saw his mission and ministry as a fool's errand destined for failure, unless he saw his life that way, he must have believed that these things were at the very least possible. I mean, this is somebody who beheld the brokenness of the world, all of its pain, all of the despair, all of the captivity to the many idols and slave masters humanity suffered under. He saw all of this, and nevertheless, he persisted. He saw all of this pain. But I think he must have seen something else too. He must have seen a world full of possibility and potential. And as a people who are baptized into his life, we too are called to see a world full of possibility. But there's a problem with seeing the world this way. Once we admit that something can be done about the pain and the horror of the world, once we admit this, we suddenly become burdened by the impetus to do something, anything. We become saddled with the responsibility to spend our lives for the health and well-being of the world. In short, we are called to live like Jesus. I mean, not in some pietistic, purely moralistic way, right? Avoiding a little bit of sin here. Spouting off a spiritual platitude there. We are called to radically transformed lives that take his mission as our own. So, good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed. Even when following him puts us at odds with the dominant culture that surrounds us, even when following him means we join him on a cross of our own, even then we follow him. Because we believe that change is possible in our world, and we will work and labor for it no matter the cost. The French philosopher Albert Camus once said, "What is called a reason for living is also an excellent reason for dying, no matter the cost." We follow the way of Jesus. But there is an alternative. I suppose we actually might prefer to remain blind. It's a possibility of a different sort. Like many of the stories of Jesus' miraculous healing, I just am uninterested in their historicity. I don't really care whether they happened or not. They may have, I don't know. I am interested in what they mean for us today. Bartimaeus could not see the world. He could not see what was around him. He could not face either the joys or the horrors of his community. And so if we read his story through an analogical lens, we could just as easily say that we are Bartimaeus. Because life here in Los Alamos is reasonably comfortable. It isn't often that we are confronted by the horrors of the rest of the world. The kinds of things that happen in the vast majority of the world simply don't happen in our community. And that is a blessing, but it can also be a curse. Because the truth of the matter is that the life that many of us live is out of sync with the rest of the world. In our own way, we are blind to the suffering and pain of the world simply by virtue of not being confronted by it on a daily basis. So if we took Bartimaeus as our guide once again, it then behooves us to be a people who pray to have our eyes open. Praying for the Lord to grant us eyes to see the world's pain and the courage to not turn away from it. Eyes that see the world as it is. But we're not religious masochists. I mean, we don't want to just see the world's pain voyeuristically. We also must pray for eyes that see a world full of possibility. As Jesus saw it. As Jesus still sees it. 11 dead at the Tree of Life congregation in Pittsburgh. And 6 others, 4 of them police officers. We must be a people who do not simply pray for comfort for the families of the dead and offer prayers of thanksgiving that nothing like this has ever happened here. We must be a people that pray for an end to such horror. And we must pray for wisdom to know what part we can play in healing the wounds of the world. We can't be comfortable and content with the lives of placid comfort that many of us live. That I live. I can't be comfortable with that. We need to ask with fervent prayer to be discomforted and disquieted. To have our eyes open so that we might see the world both as it is and as it can be. And yeah, when we live like this, when we strive with our whole being to bring about a more just world, a less violent world, a world where inequality vanishes into a distant memory, when we live like this, there will be some who call us dreamers and idealists. When we pray to see the world both as it is and as it could be, there will be some who say we are wasting our time on a fool's errand. And to them I will say, I would rather live my life chasing a dream full of promise than settle for a so-called reality full of pain and perpetuity. Because if Jesus believed that the fulfillment of his mission was possible, then as one baptized into his name, I should settle for nothing less. The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Amen.